Venture capital is the industry that just keeps on creating companies in its own image.
If you look, it goes on one step further, where those people who are successful at Google then start their own companies, or they start funding companies, and then you see that perpetuate on and on.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. This week, venture capitalist Steve Jurvetson of Draper Fisher Jurvetson left that firm after allegations of inappropriate behavior and an internal investigation. The company said he left by mutual agreement. Several other high-profile VCs have either left or been fired in the last year, but there have been questions about the industry for much longer. Ellen Pao is a VC who sued the well-known venture firm Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers for gender discrimination back in 2012. She lost that case, but the public fight inspired other women to come forward, and it also shined a light on how venture capital plants the seeds of an entire ecosystem.
It's a very imbalanced industry. So the people who are funding companies end up deciding who's going to succeed and who's not going to succeed. And it's often people who are very comfortable with the venture capitalists, or that the venture capitalists are very comfortable with, who end up getting funding. And if you look at, you know, the fund that I was at previously, Kleiner Perkins, to get funding, founders had to present to the whole partnership in this giant conference room with floor-to-ceiling windows on two sides, one side looking over these giant trees and this giant wooden table that seated 20 people. And it was designed almost as if to intimidate people. Then those people who get funded end up hiring their executive teams, often with introductions to potential executives from the venture capitalists, and that homogeneity continues to ripple down the rest of the cycle.
Yeah, do you think people understand that? Do you think that they understand that when it starts with venture capital and it ends at Google or Alphabet, how sort of pervasive that trend can be?
I don't know. I don't think I understood it until I actually saw it, where you see these people who get an intro and all of a sudden they have the job. And then if you look, it goes on one step further, where those people who are successful at Google then start their own companies, or they start funding companies. And then you see that perpetuate on and on.
Lately, both companies and venture capitalists have been talking more about the idea of cognitive diversity. Is that a cop out?
Yes, I think it's a red herring. I think people are very interested in trying to sidestep the issues and talk about something that is easier to deal with. I do think these are very, very difficult issues to fix. And it stems from this attitude of people and the people who are like them being better than others, and a feeling that people who are not like them are not equal to them and actually inferior. So this problem is very broad and it's hard to fix. So it's easier to talk about, let's try to bring people in who have different views and that justifies what I'm doing. But some of these views don't belong in the workplace. And that's the piece that people have to really sit down and understand and think about.
And how do you feel? You know, in so many ways, Ellen, you're like the Eve in the origin story of this kind of current unraveling. I mean, how do you feel watching this all unfold?
It's funny, somebody called me the canary in the coal mine, and I think, you know, the canary dies. It's not a good story.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and I feel a little bit like that. It's just very sad that this has happened to so many people and that it is so prevalent. You know, somebody asked me if I feel vindicated. I don't feel vindicated because it's not a happy story. It's something that I hope leads to change, and I have not seen that yet. I've seen more of the same people coming in to replace the people who do get pushed out. And the people who get pushed out, you know, it's maybe a handful or two, right? This is an industry that needs a complete reset and it needs complete transformation. And little changes along the edges of a few people, you know, are not going to do it. It's going to be replacing a whole swath of people. And I don't know if that will happen yet.
Yeah. And then there's kind of this whole spectrum of things that are at play. You know, there's bias, then there's sexism, then there's harassment. Are they all related?
I think it is tied to two things. One, this feeling that people are superior, that this group of homogenous people is actually superior to everyone else. And that means women, that means people of color, that means doubly so for women of color. None of these people get the same consideration as that group that fits the homogeneous pattern. And I think it's also tied to this power imbalance where you have, you know, a small number of people with a tremendous amount of power. And much of it was not really, I'd say, you know, it wasn't earned meritocratically. It was earned because they fit the mold, they fit the pattern. And it was a self-fulfilling prophecy where when you only invest or support or, you know, hire people who are within that same mold, those are the only people who are successful. So that feeling that because this group is successful, that means they are better than everyone else, and then that power to reinforce that pattern, I think those in combination have been, you know, responsible for where we are today.
Ellen Pao is a partner at the venture capital firm Kapor Capital. She has a new book out that is appropriately titled Reset. And here on Marketplace Tech, we've been spending a lot of time looking at how venture capital works, as you hopefully know. One of the reasons is because it's this secretive and little understood world that controls so much of the money and investment and direction of the tech industry. And since the four or five most valuable companies in the world, depending on the day, are all venture-funded tech companies, it's pretty relevant to ask where and whom the money comes from, and to think about who didn't get funded when Apple or Google or Facebook all got their money. I interviewed Steve Jurvetson this summer, and I asked him this: but for minor variations in decision-making at these firms, our world could look very different. I asked him if he ever feels the weight of that responsibility.
Oh, gosh, that's an interesting question. No, because I believe in the ecosystem. If I was the only arbiter, like if we were a government-sponsored monopoly, God, yeah, then that would be kind of incredibly difficult. I have some fundamental belief in markets that these dislocations, while weird, hopefully are not long-standing.
Now, what he was telling me there is that he trusts the system, but I don't know that a lot of people can say the same. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.